I read a verse in the Bible some time ago. Pahokee 1:1. Can anything good come out of Pahokee? I got my report right up here. Very good. Let me give you an update of what is going on in this ministry. The institutions are still closed. Can't get back in yet. And it's for our safety. Because if you go into a pod, everybody's got the virus, you're going to get it. And they can't take and isolate everybody. If they take everybody, get the virus, put them in that pod, they never get over with the thing at all. So I keep saying later, later, later. And I don't know what later you're going to be. But that doesn't bother us at all. Because we're just as busy as we ever be, although we're not in there. We have reached to every state in the union with our correspondent courses. So that hasn't stopped us at all there. But we are sponsored by the Hillside Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, where Terry Richard is our pastor there. And when they get back over again, we'll be at our home county jail in Benton, Tennessee, Polk County Jail. Then about 18 miles from the house down to Blue Ridge, Georgia, Fanning County Jail. And every Wednesday, I would go to Rock Springs, Georgia, 2 hours from my house to Walker State Prison, 4 pods, an hour in each one, and 2 hours home. That's my longest day on the thing. Going through the traffic in Chattanooga, about as bad as going through Atlanta with all the construction we have up there on things. And then the third Sunday of the month, we go to South Georgia. Little Wiki, is that how you say it? However you say the thing. It's about a 6 to 8 hour drive. We leave on Saturday. You get the same old motel. They keep it open for us. Then we drive about another 10 miles to the prison, and we have a service from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We do church service there. We have 5 guys called the Heavenly Choir, and they can sing. I met the best guitar players and piano players and drum players in there. And why are they in there? You know? You never know who's going to be in there at all. They got talents. And one man had a Bible. It was all ruffled up. You can tell he's been reading that thing on the thing. And one guy said, I got a birthday. We sing happy birthday. The other guy said, he has a birthday every day. I wouldn't have that. I'd get too old fat too fast at all. Bible studies completed in 34 years, 225,453. Bible studies distributed, 134,158. Mount Pisgah's Baptist Church in Olive Springs, Tennessee, have been donating me Bibles probably over 30 years. Free. We just came back from there about 2 weeks ago, picked up 300 Bibles, and then some Spanish Bibles also. New Testament, 10,000 New Testaments given out. We sent out a birthday card during their month, and we get letters back. You're the only one that thought about us. My parents did, my spouse didn't, but you did. And it makes their day on the thing. 4,800 of them. We give out a paperback Bible dictionary concordance, 3,000 of them. We just started giving out study Bibles, 401, and large print Bibles just recently, 470 of them. We have 48,027 students over the years doing our Bible studies. We had a church drop us one time, and so we're going to start supporting a bigger program. I knew what they were saying, they'd go support Southern Baptist, because that's what they turned to be, one of our churches. And I can't understand that. One of the thing. God has saved 36 100. We had nothing to do with it at all. Number one, this ain't my ministry. This is God's ministry on the thing. We have a place down in Clarksville, Georgia. Brother Dennis Dale, Bible Way Baptist Church, has his own printing ministry. Everything's free. We have some booklets back there, which we get from him. The gospel tracts, we gave out 80,000 gospel tracts. 83,000 of these little booklets back there. We have a box here for y'all to keep here. We have reached 813 jails across America. And we haven't reached the service yet. Every county got a jail. I don't know how many counties got here in Florida, but they got probably about 50 or 60, though, somewhere down there on the thing. Our first course, we have 32 lessons. Our second course, we have 28 lessons. Our landmark course, we have 18 books that we use. And the books we use are the same books they use at our seminaries and Bible schools in the American Baptist Association. We have three by Dr. Garner, Bible Analysis, Defense of the Faith, and one in the church. We have four or five that Brother Strickland that used in his school, West Florida Baptist Institute, Paul the Missionary, the Epistles, Customer's Epistle by Brother Lambert there, and can't remember the rest of them there. And then we added five new ones. He has a new man working with him, Brother David Canella. We got six books on theology that he wrote, and we're just adding that to these lessons there. I've got four completed workbooks. I'm working on book number five, then number six, and we're going to end with that. We'll have 18 study books. And the same thing they get here, you get in our schools. We just don't get Greek, or Hebrew, or English. And I do know a little Greek. I do know a little Hebrew. The Greek lives on Fifth Avenue, the Hebrew's on Sixth Avenue. That's about all I know about. And my song concordance. That's about it on things. We use Macedonian Bible studies, the English one, and a Spanish one also. Our email is Cribs Toby. It was Toby Cribs, but it got messed up somehow. And my granddaughter, who's smart on computer, she straightens me out on the thing. What did she graduate in high school?
She was the
louder. Okay, she was number two anyway. And my website is TobyCribs.com. We have a friend of ours that does that for me. He just made some changes in it recently. And I sent him a book up just the other day. We had made a little pamphlet on our studies, our resource materials that we send the chaplains. We just throw that every month. And we send 25 out every month to these chaplains to see who we are and what we do and what we can offer them. Now, in some prisons, if I don't publish it, it don't go in. Even if I print, it don't say publish on the thing. It doesn't go in at all. Some of them are going to take the two stables out of the studies. On landmark course, we have a cone binding. We're going to take that off. Some, no hardbacks. Most of our landmark books have hardbacks. We've got to take them off and cover them up on things. We have all different restrictions. We have one or two, white paper only. Figure it out yourself. White colored paper on the thing. We had a prison here in Tallahassee. It was a men's prison. And we could put staples in there and stamps on the back. It became a women's prison. They just changed everything on the way. So we have changes. We had a lot of ladies up north doing Bible studies, a whole bunch of them. Also, they stopped. They had to get permission to do them after that, one thing. All kind of things happen on the thing. And I can tell you a lot of stories of things that happened. Years ago, I was at Hamersham County, and the trustee was washing up the patrol car. It looked so good, he drove it away. That added some time to him. he only had a few more days left. How dumb can some of these people be, you know? And I ain't figuring it out. I dealt with a young man, 16 years old, at the same jail, Raymond County. He helped kill his grandparents, him and his uncle, 16 years old. He'd never see the outside of a prison. They gave him life with no parole. And I can't figure that out. I watch true cop stories on TV. You can read first-degree murder in 5 years and get out. The same thing, you get life. Our system is not right at all. Right. Brother, the one at Wayside, not Wayside, but down in Valdosta, Bill
Watson,
was a parole officer at one time. He said, I know there's two guys in here who should not be in there. As innocent as can be. And that does happen. You read stories that have been there for 20 years and they get out. And the state does nothing for them at all. All the money they lost, all the friends they lost, and relatives they lost. And the state does nothing at all on the thing. We've been up there about 36 years. I met this man about 38 years. You name it, he did it. He ended up down in Miami, Florida, Dade County Institution. Got put in a bunch of believers, got saved. Shipped up to Avon Park, did the last 2 weeks up there. When I was pastor, I was in the office, walked in there and told me his life story. I'm thinking, he's a little run of a kind. He never lost a fight either, at all. The first few years, I think, got dismissed because his dad was a judge in New Jersey at one time. But after he reached 18, he had to start paying for it. He started Little Lambs Prison Ministry in Sebring, Florida. About 6 years, he fell down the stairs and hit his head and passed away. His wife carries on the correspondent courses there. Rayford, Florida. You name it, he did it. First degree murder. I met him 2 years ago. He goes to Walker State Prison. It's the same one I go to. He started going to Bible class and chapel in the prison at Rayford. God convicted him. He got saved. Every guard officer saw the change in them, a completely change. The warden saw the change, and the judge that sentenced him released him. He's out today preaching the gospel in the institutions. He should have had the electric chair. Don't tell me prison ministry doesn't work. No difference from church house religion. Someone walks us out, they may get saved back, get saved up here. You baptize them, they join the church. 8 months later, where are they? Did they get saved? Only God knows. We don't know at all. If you like some of these, put your name on the list and we'll send them to you. Change lives. And I've got four or five other. Murph the Surf, ever hear about him? He stole the largest diamond in the world. He got out and started preaching the gospel. Every one of the men I got back there got right with God and started living for the Lord Jesus Christ on things. Change lives, and lives are being changed in the prison system. We see it over and over again. Now, everyone that says they're saved, I don't know. I marked it down that they are on things, but I don't know. Only God knows the same at all. Our biggest need is not finances. Help. I pray that Brother James gets well and will come down. Another man came by the other day, Richard Peacock, and He brought a man by. Now, Richard Peacock, he came to our church. We was having church up there, and I said something about a prison meeting, jail ministry. We had dinner that night. I said, I like that. So he got started going with me to Fannin County Jail. Got his own night. Then he joined Rock of Ages prison ministry after that on the thing. I kind of wish he would kind of stay with us. But no matter, we might not agree on everything. And some things you got to agree on the thing. I heard him preach, he preached on the street corner. He said something one time, I said, that's totally wrong. I didn't work together except for that one thing. And most of them are not right on the church. Now, we don't preach church in the prisons. We preach get saved. We let them find a good New Testament church and learn about the church then, one thing. Because if I tell them about the church, they wouldn't listen. They said, I never heard that before. And a lot of them haven't on the thing. So the biggest thing is listening. I was at Hamershina County with another pastor, Brother Tommy Kay from White Oaks Baptist in Greenville, South Carolina. He got cells here, cells there, and cells here and back over here. We walked to the very first one. I started to say something to him. I never heard some words come out of this guy's mouth like he did. He didn't care for us at all. I said, I love you, and God's love you. Hour and a half, we came back. Preacher, I'm sorry, will you come speak to me? If I stood there, I would never got the first base at all. Raven County, big bullpen on one side, and then over here after did all the other ones. About 10 guys came over to the bars there, and we had a Bible course lesson. One man stood there afterwards and said, Preacher, I need some advice. I need some help. I stood there for an hour and a half. Uh-huh. That's right. Mm-hmm. Preacher, thanks for your advice. I feel so much better. You got to learn to listen. You keep your mouth shut sometimes. That's one of the biggest things. Just let them pour their heart out. That does more than me trying to tell them how to get saved. They realize that. I was over in Asheville, North Carolina years ago, and a big old black guy in there. I mean, he could pick me up with one hand. I said, you saved? No, I ain't been saved. How about your mother? Oh, she's a godly mother. I know she's in heaven. Oh, my dad, he was too. And you say you love him? I said, you don't love him. He looked at me and said, I think I know where you're coming from. I love him. I'd like to see him again. Well, you better get saved then if you want to see him again on things. I mean, that's what it takes, sort of. Sometimes you got to know the right thing to say at the right time. He could have punched you right through the bars if he wanted to. So you can't do it for everybody. I've learned some things. I was at Bryson City, Swain County Jail, about the first year I was doing this, and this guy begged me to take a note to his sister. I did. I shouldn't. Went next month over there, little boy come over here, sheriff said, don't you ever take anything out of this jail, even not from one cell to the other cell. Up and down, he ripped me on the thing. So I've learned a few things on it. Not to call nobody. Now, I do call some in Polk County who I know personally again before they put the guy in there. One of the things. Let me tell you this funny that happened. Our oldest daughter, Susan, you probably knew her, and she was going to college over in Silver, North Carolina. And her and three other girls had gotten an apartment. I just left the jail there and went down to see her, and she wasn't there. I said, I'm Susan's father. I'd like to see her. Was she not here? Well, I haven't seen her in some time. I just got out of jail. And when Susie came home, she said, your dad, he was in jail? Then she explained to him what it was. A lot of comical things sometimes happen on it, on the thing. And I can tell you story after story that got it happen. Jasper, Georgia, I met a guy that went to Tennessee Temple, graduated in jail. That's not too bad. Over Spring County, I met a guy that graduated from Bob Jones University. Not bad. But I had a guy doing my Bible study, graduated from ABA school. That's getting pretty bad. One thing. So, anybody got any questions about any of this? Or display, as I said, mark it down, and we'll send it to you. Don't buy tracks, don't buy things. We'll send anything you need. We picked up 14 boxes of that material at Clarksville, and one box of tracks, copy paper size. You put 5,000 tracks in one box. So we got 5,000 new ones. We got them on the shelf yet. Now, we have a man who goes to Refuge Baptist Church. We visited about 2 years ago, I guess. And the first time we walked in, who you going, what you doing, stand up and tell you about yourself, and I did. And they support Brother Peacock. I said, Brother Peacock, I know him. And they took us on, but they called me up one Saturday, said, I want you to come Sunday morning, preach for me, and give a full detail of your ministry. I did. Took them $50 a month. Went to 100. Now it's at 200. We have a heater at the house. What is it? Electric pump, whatever. It don't heat, it don't cool. And one of the men in the church owns a heating and air conditioner, a heat pump. And I said, I've got gas heat in the house with wall heaters, but that heat pump don't do a thing. He said, I'll come by and see what. I just want air conditioner. I got heat. He came by, took measures down, called me 2 weeks later. He says, I put it in so-and-so days. Is that good? I said, how much did the church pay for it? God is good. I've had five churches closed up that support us, that had supporters, and we got a portion of it for the ministry on the bank. Calvary. Was that Brother Hayes at Calvary later? I know Brother Taylor was.
Oh, at Palm City, yes.
Yeah. I'm like, we had it closed up. About 6 months ago, we got a check for him. Bear Hill Road, Brother Lambert started that. And I was at Sebring at the time. We gave him a refurbished piano, 50 folding chairs. I preached 3 times up there, and they closed up, I heard. 8 months later, we got a little check from them on the thing. The church outside of Birmingham, Alabama, they sold it, gave us a portion of what we give us for 2 years from it. I called a pastor in Louisiana, got a new pastor of the church. I was heading that way, like, come by and meet you and update. He said, preacher, I'd love to meet you, but we just closed the doors. Matter of fact, we just sold it, and you'll be getting a portion of it. God is good. Tocoa Baptist. We tried for 2 years to get a pastor there. 4 acres of land, a mobile home on it, church is paid for. The church in right on Highway 50, going up there, was a sponsoring church thing. One of the older church up there, right on 50. And we called the pastor and said, we don't want it back. I'll call Brother Cloud. We can't find nobody. Well, the pastor, Brother Miller, who used to pastor out there with Brother Taylor, he had cancer. He wasn't able to do a lot of work and had never been to a Georgia meeting because of his health. One thing, I'm the only pastor ever went down there and seen him. We had one did call him up a few times, talked to him on the phone. And I knocked the doors with him. I helped him with revivals, not preach for him. I was supposed to go down one Sunday, and we had about 8 inches of snow. We started, I said, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. We got down on the mountain, but no snow on the other side of the mountain. So we went on and devoted to sell the building. They had a basement. You had to go upstairs, open all the windows up, or your eyes were water and everything else. It just wasn't built right on the thing. And so he asked me to come down and try to get a buyer. I found a pastor who wanted another church building, and we had a handshake. He said, I'll get a survey and how much it is and anything else. 3 or 4 months went by, and he called me and says, undo the handshake, find somebody else. We just can't do it. Well, 2 days later, I found another one, and they rented to buy on the thing. Well, I went down to all the windows and everything else. I had no idea what it was worth. I just gave a number out. It came down 5,000. It was still good on the thing. I did not know the church voted to give all the proceeds to Lighthouse Ministry. They had closed the bank account before that. The check was made out to the Coleman Missionary Baptist Church. My Lighthouse Ministry, they Coleman Baptist Church. The members typed the letter, signed their name to it. All the proceeds go to Lighthouse. I took it to the bank, the guy we dealt with all the time, and he says, it's yours. That's what the letter says. My law banks won't do that. I mean, the check's made out over here, and you want to put it over there on the thing. He says, all legal. God's good. God knows how to do things on the thing. That's a lot of time. We don't know anything about it, how we ought to be doing. Any questions whatsoever at all? Did you want to mention or are you going to preach?
You got something to say?
Yeah, I always got something to say. Ain't I a preacher?
It sounds like you do.
Oh, me. Let me pull that up and get it out of the way. I have quit calling this book a Bible. I can't find that word in there. But over 600 times, I find the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. This is the Word of God. The originally autographers were inspired by God. And those translators, God preserved the word through him, the King James Bible. And these guys, you want to write it and rewrite it, you go back and look at the ones that translated it, of the knowledge they had. One, at 12 years old, could read the whole Bible in Hebrew and Greek. I don't think we got any scholars like that today. At all. And every one of them had high scholars and intelligence. And God used them to preserve the Word of God. We are a King James only Bible. Amen. And that has helped me get support.
Amen.
Brother Rodney Rowe, we was with him last year. He said, Brother, let me tell you why we started supporting you. Their former treasurer showed him my financial statement. This somebody gave $5. This somebody gave $2. He said he puts everything in there. And everything over what goes out. Because of my financial support, they started supporting me. A lot of missionaries quit making financial support. I think. A good missionary always needs support. If I could have contained all those that had supporters, I have worried about it. But just yesterday, I was going to call two churches in Arkansas. I said, wait a minute, I ain't heard from this one in some time at all on the thing. So I'm going to call the other one now when we get back. And last year, we was getting ready to buy a new book finisher. This book finisher, the second one we've had, it does up to a 60-page book complete. Both sides, folds it, collates it, and staples the book, everything on it. We got a check in from somebody in Texas, a pastor of a church. So I called him up. I said, number one, who are you? And what do you hear about us? He said, you know Mike Crane, Texarkana? I said, yeah, he had a prison ministry. He gave up because of his eyesight. So we called him because we read something about you, and he says, he's an okay guy. Go ahead and do it. Good to have a good friend. Matter of fact, when he got out of himself, two of his supporting churches started supporting me on the thing. I think missionaries that do that on the thing, on it. Jill Meredith out there in Arkansas, used to be with Worldwide Literature. His son is doing it now, and he says, send my support to my son, or his son-in-law one. Out there on it. So, okay. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is, a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Father, we come this evening. We pray You will bless the reading of Your word. And Father, we thank You for Calvary Heights Baptist Church. We thank You for Brother Burris and their faithful support over the years. Bless them in missionaries, in their outreaches, and in souls being saved, and additions to the church, Father. May You give glory and honor unto You. In Christ's name, amen. Yeah. Faithfulness. Some people are not as faithful as they should be. I've known members leave an ABA church and end up in the Southern Baptist Church. Oh, they got a bigger program. They got more youth over there. There was a family from Florida, about a dozen of them. I spoke there several years ago, and they was all moving to Murphy, North Carolina. And they were glad that we had a church there. The other kids was in school, and a lot of these kids went to the Southern Baptist Church. That's where you ended up at. Now the mother said, I want to go over here. And their former pastor came up. Well, if you can make up, don't worry about close a million in the University Church. Go ahead and go. He's no longer going to work anymore at all. He was connected with our school at one time. I can't pronounce his name if I try to. The Paul said, Lord, increase our faith. Right. And we need to increase our faith daily. I was talking about one evening at Fannin County Jail about being filled with the Spirit. I said, being filled with like your gas tank gets half low, three quarters low. You got to fill it up again. You're out there in the world and your spiritual life kind of goes down a little bit. And you got to have another filling of the Spirit. It's there, but you got to fill it up again. Right. And the guy didn't understand, walked out. I'm like, we prayed for him. Other guys said, why do you do that? But somebody said, he just probably understand at all. Increase our faith. We need to increase our faith for service to Jesus. We all know what Hebrews 10:25 says. Not forsaking the assembling or churching of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. People up at Hillcrest Baptist Church, members will move away or change, but they stay in contact with them, exhorting them. And most of our members, we close, moved away. Two or three have passed away. And those, about eight are still there. About six of them are in church somewhere. I'm glad they're in church somewhere on the thing. But people use the smallest thing to stay out. It's snowing today. Now we did find out was a lot of snow up there. You don't drive your car. First time we lived up there, went through the parking lot, doors were closed, and we turned around, I ran into their sign, metal posts. I said, we're gonna learn how to stay home. Yeah. There was a lot of snow on the ground. There's some reason, you know, you don't want to go on the lake. I want to live a little bit longer on the lake. Oh, it's a nice sunny day. Let's go play golf. Mm-hmm. Let's go fishing. Won't bite. I did have a hole in one time, but I'll never do it again. It was a par three. Wasn't 4 or 5 at all on the thing. They got a small pain. They don't feel good. And Monday morning, they're at work, but not in church on Sunday at all. Excuses. There's a song about excuses on the thing. So service and going to church. Number two, witnessing. Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out the highways and the byways and compel them to come in at my house. Maybe full. That word compel means almost take lasso and lasso them open, bring them on in. One thing. Bring them in. I know some church members are slow getting up. Those church members call them up. You know, it's time to go to church. Thing. I told some ladies back here a minute ago, what I would always want to do, I didn't have the nerve to do it, come 30 minutes late for church. Where's the pastor at? Is he okay? Where's he at? Did he check off? How many members come late? Very few Baptist churches start on time. I think some of you will be late for the rapture. Wait a minute, Lord, I don't believe that way. At all. Witnessing for Jesus. That means have a visitation program. Knocking on doors. Handing out tracts. Telling people about Jesus. I always like to leave tracts with my chip inside of it. If they throw it away, they lost two blessings. The biggest one was not reading the Word of God. One thing. Second was the money I left in there. One thing. I don't care if they throw it away or not. They lost the Word of God. One thing. In John 1:40-42, Andrew finds Peter and brings him to Jesus. Witnessing. Peter, come on over here. Let me tell you about Jesus. Then Philip finds Nathaniel. Come on over and tell you about Jesus. Some books by Mark Cahill. Great soul winner. National basketball player. Gave it up. Has his own prison ministry. He has 7 different books. And I met him 2 years ago at Hillcrest Baptist Church. I had him there. And he said, what's the level you have? Well, I'm not a member. He said, well, write me a letter. I'll send you something. We got a 3rd shipment in the other day. Thing. He said, now, if you don't want to send a love offering, no. If you want to send a love offering, send one. It costs a print. We send them a love offering. Like, you guys send them a love offering through me. One thing. And great books. I met people that had read them years and years ago. The thing. And they're very inspiring books. Study for Jesus. You can be faithfulness and studying the Word of God. But grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. We're to study the Word. I tell people, get your strong concordance. You come across where you don't know what it means, look it up. Look up in the Rhetoric Dictionary. Radio program up there in Copper Hill. That's kind of fiction. And they all went to the poacher. I said, what in the world's a poacher? They're trying to say sabaka. Oh, I never heard such things. We have a lot of Baptist draw up there. They start off real slow and get as busy as a train and get red in the face and down the knees and up again. And the deliverance overshadows the message. If you blow the trumpet and that sound, you know you go to battle or stay. And a lot of them have gotten away from that, on a lot of the younger ones over the years, but some of the older ones. We went into a church one night. I said, what is that guy saying? I was sitting toward the back. I said, maybe we all go and walk out. We went there because we had a friend went there. She worked at the post office down there. but we're to study the word. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, some of you are still babes in the Lord. Get out of the book of John. Now I tell new believers, read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. That's all that you're saying. Then go back over to John. Stay away from Ezekiel and Daniel and Revelation. They had to mess you up because you don't know what you're reading at all. I know some pastors can't understand it. And a lot I don't understand. I started preaching in 1956. 66 years ago? I'm still learning. I'm still a student in the Word. If you find somebody that says he knows the law, you better step aside for the light hits both of you. Now, I've had the privilege of preaching at Washington Baptist when Brother Clyde Manure was at. I had the privilege of preaching at Dr. Gardner's churches. And I think that's an honor. Those guys are high knowledge. When I was a Sebring pastor, Sunday night I would invite a student to come. But Sunday morning I invited somebody who knew more than I did. So I wanted people to learn more than I learned at all. Somebody said, what'd you go to college at? Hard Rock Baptist Institute. That means I didn't go. But I sat in classes out in Minden, Whistler Institute. I'll be down in Florida. I'll sit in classes down there. I was sat with Brother Lanier and talking about Dr. Garner. I said, don't you believe in the spirit rapture? No, he believes in progressive. I found out something different, right? Like, the Florida State meeting was over at Landmark several years ago, and George was there, and one of the men from Hillcrest there. He said, I never heard of progressive. As you can hear a lot of different things from a lot of different preachers, one thing. The Bible, and the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. We're going. I don't care what you believe. When he says come, we're going. No matter what you believe at all. I know one believes 3/4 way. I mean, halfway is bad enough. We're going 3/4 way at all. But we're to study the word of God. Study shows itself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. That's the main thing. Rightly divide. I mean, I got guys in jail and prison. They got part of that verse, they got it all mashed up. As I know, you're a little bit off there. We had one guy there at Fannin County, and I said something. He said, preacher, I think that's wrong. I said, let's look at it. Like, oh, you're right, preacher. I said, that's the reason you're here. You don't think it's right. Let's look it up ourselves and find out on things on it. Later, he was on Walker State Prison. I dealt with him at Walker State Prison. I see a lot of my county jail people go to prisons that I go to. First time I went there, the chaplain, he was walking around, hey, Brother Crip. I said, he used to be a fan. I can go as far as Chattanooga. Preacher, you still going to jails? McCaseville, Blue Ridge, LJ, Silver Look Light. You still going to jails, preacher? Thing. We met one not too long ago. He says, preacher, let me tell you. For me and some other guys, we really appreciate you coming in. And you have really helped us live a life for Jesus. That's what it's all about. One thing. Stand for Jesus. Be faithful and standing for the Lord. The apostles preaching the word of God over the book of Acts, they got put into a common prison. And they were told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. When they got out, the angels opened the door and let them out. What did they do? We're not preaching Jesus. We ought to make God rather than man. We got too many behind the pulpit and call themselves preachers or pastors. Now, among the Catholic religion, they will go to a Baptist college and come up as a Baptist and preach Catholic theology. They move it in real slowly before you know it. It's like over the next verse. And you tie your boat up to the dock, and very slowly it goes out. Very slowly these people bring in false religion, and you don't even realize it at all. Not all at one time, very slowly. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, we not entangle again with the yoke of bondage. There was some people came down and started saying, well, you'll be baptized, be saved. And Paul says, why go back underneath the works when you're saved by grace? It's grace. And grace alone through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. On things. No other way. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saint. Be faithful in serving and standing for Jesus. Stand for God. Everyone said, when they got out of prison, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. Man will turn you against scriptural believing on things. And they will bring it very slowly. We had a man come by several years ago, a young boy, and he went with me to Fannin County Jail, and I said something. He said, I never heard that before. It was something about the church, that old thing. And people are not taught.
Right.
And I blame, now we have a church up in Georgia. A few years ago, at the state meeting, they had two messages there that came in. And something about the local visible church was brought up. And they said, I don't know how a church stands. And this church had been in association for years and years and years and years. But they didn't have a man to come in there, out of church the temple, but he never forced his teaching on the church there at all. And so they dismissed him. Actually, that's when the Georgia separated. Some went over there, some stayed down here on things. We need to teach our people what the Word of God says.
Amen.
You need to study a lot of it on your own. Another verse.
Amen. Let's stand. You know, I know that I know Brother Cribbs better than everyone else here, except his wife. But I did the math, and I guess that's accurate. I didn't know you that long. But guys, think about what he does and the numbers, the statistics that he's given us tonight. And we at this church have been a part of that. There are people who, you know, when they go to jail or when they go to, especially when they go to prison, their families are done. And I know that when we think about the crimes they commit to get in there, you know, it's easy to just say, well, you know, they deserve it. But he's given us testimony that they're turning their lives around. Their lives are changed. They're touching people's lives and helping people and becoming productive members of society. And in visiting people in prison, one of the things I've learned is that there's like a whole, it's a whole community in there. You know, we think that they're in prison or in jail and that they sit there and read. No, there's a whole community. They do all kinds of functions in there and they have the same kind of relationships, you know, interaction with others that we do outside. So it's a valuable ministry. And I appreciate y'all doing it. And I know it's a labor of love, and I appreciate your faithfulness. You know, and it's, think about it this way with the Cribs. You know, a pastor resigns his church, and he moves, he goes. They have been, you know, struggling with their aging and their health and trying to get somebody to come in and take this ministry and do this ministry to help these people, to reach these people for years. No one has stepped up and said, we'll take it. And they continue to do it. And will, no doubt, until someone takes that mantle or until the Lord takes them home. So pray for them. in their search for someone to relieve them of that ministry, to take it on. You know, it's not that they want out, but they realize that, you know, it's time. And the Lord's still using them, and I appreciate that. Love y'all. Appreciate you.
They put me on a dioxin medication. I went.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I said, I'm cold the other day. I thought that was it. Well, my heart doctor had moved away, and my doctor sent me to another one. I went there just for a visit. I ended up in the hospital. Of course, they sent me off the medication. I went,
oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. That's
so pray for our health.
You would have thought the hospital would know.
But it's different for everyone. It's different for everyone. Let's pray. Would y'all go back there and stand? Don't forget, he said if you want some of those books, if you'll write your name and what you want, they will send you those books. That is their display. And so don't take their books, but they will send it to you if you'd like one, okay? Anything else before we're dismissed? Don't forget, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and then, of course, back. Don't forget, church banquet is Friday night, 6 o'clock. So dress up and come be a part of that, okay? We invite you to be here. Let's pray. God, we love you and we are thankful for the ministry and such a good report, such an opportunity for us to be involved in reaching these jails and these prisons and seeing the lives that are changed, to know, to have the hope, even within the jails and the prisons, that someone cares and that someone will listen and that God is not finished, that you're not done with their lives, that they can have an opportunity to be born again and have a whole new life. We pray you'll continue to bless in that ministry and use us to be a blessing to them. Forgive our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.